Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I'm Al Fakedor or Laurie Blake, and I'm joined by Adam Blumpier. How is it going, Adam?
I'm fine. My head is cold, but I'm fine.
Excellent. There you go. Good news. We struggled to find a topic to talk about for this week's NXT, so we've gone with the fact that a main roster star has teased that they could be returning to NXT, and we discuss whether or not we think that's going to happen. Spoiler, it's Andrade. Here's the show. WWE has drafted everyone this week to Raw and SmackDown, except two people. Even Shorty G got drafted on social media, but he got drafted over text. But two people haven't been drafted, and they are Andrade and Mickey James. Can you guess which one we think might be going to NXT? It's Andrade. The reason behind both of them not being drafted to either brand has been revealed that Mickey James is still suffering from a broken nose, and Andrade has elected to have a minor surgery. And it will be out for about a month, so he won't be able to appear on TV. Now, the interesting thing is that Andrade and Zelina were both attacked by The Fiend and Alexa Bliss, and Zelina is moving to SmackDown and has been drafted herself. So whether or not they're going to keep Andrade and Zelina Vega together remains up in the air. And also, this could be a goodbye or like a kind of, you know, maybe they're just splitting Zelina and Andrade up. But on Twitter, he posted a picture of him and Zelina at the moment that he won the NXT championship from Drew McIntyre. And the last few people who've been teasing about going back to NXT, they just did go back. So I wonder whether or not they're going, like, you know, this could be him sort of doing like a look at the high points that we reached, me and you, Zelina Vega, and now they're splitting us up because you're going to have a bit of a singles run over on SmackDown. Or it could be a tease that he's going back to NXT. Which one do you think is Adam?
That's the first one, I think. Yeah. I don't want to bury our lead here because, you know, it is very difficult to have stuff to talk about in this week's episode of NXT. So if you feel like we're grasping at straws, it's because we are. Because like the only other thing we thought about was what is a TLS match? That's it. Like, don't get me wrong, like the wrestling's good. Like, there's some really good matches on this week's NXT, but the only thing we can really talk about is Andrade going back. Probably not, because WWE have apparently said that they are trying to keep couples together. It's the one thing they probably can do for their staff's morale. But as we all know, Andrade and Charlotte are in a relationship. Charlotte has been drafted to Raw. So I think whatever happens, Zelina is definitely splitting up from Andrade. That's concrete. That is going to happen. And I do think that's why he posted the picture being like, look what we did together. A high point. And it's, you know, I'm sure there may have been a little bit of, well, if I put something about NXT out there, maybe people were a little bit more interested in me. Maybe a few more articles about Andrade. Maybe Vince McMahon could give an S word about me again. That would be nice. But I think he's probably going to go back to Raw just because, like, yeah, I get. Like, he would do a lot better on NXT. Good, like, I mean, everyone's dying down there. So if we could have some more talent, that would be great. But poor bloody Finn Balor posted that picture of his giant swollen elephant man face, jaw broken in two places. So is he the champ? Who knows? A face Andrade versus a heel Johnny Gargano. Ooh. I'd buy that for a dollar, but I don't think I'm going to get the opportunity because, realistically speaking, I think Andrade's staying on
Andrade Raw. And Legado del Fantasma.
Ooh. What is a TLS match? We're talking about NXT this week.
What is a TLS match? Yeah, I think the other thing is that Charlotte did post the same, because he said thank you and on Twitter, and everyone sort of took it as like, is he leaving WWE? And Charlotte had to step in and be like, no, he was thanking Zelina Vega. But interestingly, he does need a manager now. And then a few emojis there. Charlotte Flair, Andrade's manager. That's a step down for you, Charlotte, isn't it?
Like, I'm totally up for them as like a power couple thing. Like, I just, there's so much life there. There's real life. Use the real life. Like, it's fine. You can. Like, there's already this stuff right there.
Exactly. And the thing Andrade needs is someone to do the talking for him in WWE. So, like, yeah, I think having Charlotte there backing him up is brilliant, and being like, you know, Charlotte Flair adds real credence to Andrade as a performer. That could be a really interesting mix. But let's talk about what could you see for if Andrade does happen to go back to NXT, because, you know, anything could happen during these moments.
Sure.
What would you like? So. What would be your dream match?
My dream match for Andrade. Well, like, it seems basic to say I want him to fight Gargano again. I'd love to see Gargano versus Ciampa. I think Andrade coming back and taking issue with Santos Escobar, kind of perverting the name of Lucha, I think would be phenomenal. And like El Idolo having to kind of return to his Lucha roots, and like having a 2 out of 3 falls match with Santos Escobar would be pretty good, I think. Like, Andrade's a super worker. I don't understand why he hasn't been given the opportunity to do that. Is it just the fact that he can't talk? I think there's like him.
It's just because they've put him with everyone else of similar origin. That's why. In the same way they're doing with the Hurt Business, it's just they're just grouping everyone into like big clumps, and like, these are the groups. This is how Raw and SmackDown function now. It's baffling. It's utterly baffling to be like, and then they have to be like, there's another separate side faction, so they can have matches, like. I don't know. I don't understand the way they're booking Raw and SmackDown at all. But, you know, I don't think NXT is struggling in its own way.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Rolls Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies could only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Rolls Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Maybe we should jump into talking about this week's show, which seems like a lot of setup for Halloween Havoc. That seems like the big thing that's happening. There were a couple of remarkable moments. There's some very good wrestling, but overall, this episode wasn't quite as hot as last week's episode, shall we say?
No, I get the impression that, you know, with the two people who fought for the top championship, both being still on the bloody shelf, Kyle O'Reilly's going to be clear next week. Finn Balor, he hasn't vacated the belt, but he's got a broken jaw, two places. So
it's a fixed jaw now. He's had the surgery. It's still sore, is what it is.
Yes, it's tender. Who bloody knows? It very much feels like the sort of they're keeping the wheel spinning. Very much exemplified by the fact that the two kind of locked in title matches that are coming back at Halloween Havoc are the Garganos fighting for exactly the same titles they fought for at TakeOver 31. I'm not necessarily arguing against
this time, guys. This time,
maybe destiny. Yeah, who knows? But you get the sense from NXT that they're just like, we're sorry. Everyone's dying around us. It's very heartbreaking to see NXT being put in a difficult position. Two champs injured back to back is a horrible bit of luck. But NXT is like they still have a clearer head on their shoulders in the main roster by a country mile.
They've always got a story to fall back on, I think, is the good thing. Like, you know, the Garganos is such an interesting angle that you can fall back on that as a main event spot and build it into like something big for Halloween Havoc. And plus, what? You've got Raquel Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley happening on Halloween Havoc as well, which has been stewing for a while. So that's great too.
What is a TLS match? What is it? Is it a tables, ladders and stairs match? Or I was reading about it, is it a tables, ladders and Shotzi match? Which is what Reddit thinks it is, which would be really funny. Because you can't see what the S stands for on the wheel. I would really dig a tables, ladders and Shotzi match. That would be really funny.
It's stairs, though, isn't it? Because it rhymes.
It's probably stairs. It's,
and also because, yeah, I guess the history of the stairs with Shotzi and Candice?
I don't know. Is there finally been an injunction from the leg, from the estate of TLC? I don't know. Like, who? It's fine. Yeah, so Spin the Wheel, Make a Deal is back. Skipping to the end, I guess, because it's the most interesting thing. Yeah. Shotzi is the host of Halloween Havoc because she's spooky and also ball pits. And they've got a list of stipulations, and the stakes have been hired, as William Regal said. Yes. The stakes have been hired.
Bollocks. Damn it!
I buggered that up.
Shut your help! I've not done live for a while. I was talking on an iPad for ages.
We finished writing the script for this show 10 minutes ago.
Well, that's to be fair, me and Louis were having a go last week because the first thing that Regal did on that last week's NXT was came out and booked the main event. And it was like, you didn't have a main event before you started the show? You maniac, Regal. What are you playing at?
Joker's wild. Regal's going down punching.
He doesn't care, does he? He's given up.
I love the idea that all of his champions being injured is just like driving Regal to the bottle and he's just getting fighty now.
The stakes have been hired! Crying out
silly,
loud.
Silly stuff.
Let's whisper through the show, though. So the show starts with Undisputed Era coming out. It's Fish and Rod. Carl's backing him up, and they're taking on Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. But before that, Carl does a bit of a promo. He says that Cole's still out of injured ribs. Carl's going to be cleared to compete next week. And they would have put Ridge Holland in the same hospital that he's in now, but they'll do the same to whoever they find out is behind the attack. So putting credence to kind of that notion that Ridge Holland is working for someone on behalf of someone. It's Pat McAfee. We said it last week. It's Pat McAfee, 100%.
And I did it for the Pat.
Or it's William Regal, I guess.
Why? Or William Regal's just mental.
I'm hiring the snakes. That's it.
Oh, damn.
So this match was a little sloppy in places, I thought. Like it didn't feel like the Undisputed Era that we're used to seeing. Like they didn't present themselves that way. This was much more about Burch and Lorcan having their number for a lot of the match. Burch and Lorcan obviously like really good hands in this. They did some great stuff. I felt like Roddy just fell over a lot. Like there was no reason for it necessarily, but he just sort of like was doing stuff and then was like, nope, fallen over. Oh, I've fallen over. There's a hot tap. Oh, I've fallen over again. And yeah, it really did. It felt very one-sided for an Undisputed Era match. There was that point where, Roddy looked for the stronghold and he rolled him over and then he just rolled him over the other way again and got kicked off. And then Fish goes in for this diving headbutt and he misses and there's a hot tag happens. And then, Roddy just fell down loads. Oney hits the double blockbuster. There's a big brawl. Double submissions from Burch and Lorcan. They just really had Undisputed Era under the thumb for most of this match. And then there was a moment of just miscommunication between the two and Lorcan accidentally knocks Burch off the apron as Fish dives out the way. He gives him a kick in the head and then Strong jumps in with a knee and Undisputed Era pick up the victory and they're going to face Breezango for the tag team titles. So, I don't think it did much to build up the Undisputed Era and I was kind of expecting there to be a post-match angle because of that. Like I sat there for most of the match thinking like, this doesn't feel like this has really gone Undisputed Era's way. I think they'll probably sneak out a victory, but I think they might also be angered about how much Burch and Lorcan got in here. And then, it just never happened. So I just thought, it's kind of a strange choice, I think, to have the Undisputed Era beaten down quite so much of the match and then sneaking a victory right at the end. I don't know.
Yeah. Breezango is there, like they watched the thing. But we're going straight into the match next week. That was announced later in the show. I get the impression that the story that's happening here will probably happen in that match. Like, I don't, like, putting the belts on Yui feels like kind of a bit random now, considering kind of like this, like, shape-shifting, like, some of them are turning face, some of them are turning heel. That could happen. I'm very much kind of like intrigued to see the match. I think Yui and Breezango will work together really well, especially the sort of like the Fish and Rod, pure heel variant of the Yui. I thought it was a fine enough match. I really like an Oney Lorcan hot tag. Like he's a really good hot tag wrestler. It was a functional, entertaining enough kind of start to it. But a slightly lacking in story. And I get the sense that was a holdover from the fact that we're supposed to be doing this Ridge Holland thing. He's out. So we'll cut this kind of promo at the beginning and like that will just like paper over any kind of storyline cracks.
There was a lot of papering in this episode.
Yeah.
Wallpaper everywhere. I think the other thing was, there's an interesting bit to be had, I think, by having Fish and Rod win the titles next week. Like the heel faction of the Undisputed Era being the only ones with belts and Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly both having just faced for the biggest prize in the game and failed could create some really interesting tension within that group. I don't think it's probably too early for Breezango to lose the belts, but I think that's kind of better than Undisputed Era losing another title opportunity. Like as a sort of cohort, they've all had the biggest matches that you could have basically in their respective divisions in the last month, and they've all failed.
Do you think that the person who hired Ridge Holland was the Undisputed Era?
Oh, maybe.
Because here's the thing, like, I think you are probably right. I think it's probably Pat. I think if it wasn't Pat, someone probably would have mentioned Pat by now. Like, I think Kyle O'Reilly would have said, like, well, who hates Adam Cole?
Yeah.
who hates Adam Cole? And, you know, isn't probably, you know, quite good enough yet to do his own sneak attack. It's Pat McAfee. But the fact they haven't mentioned him yet means it probably is him. But what if it's Kyle? I don't think it's going to be Kyle. But what if it's Fishing Rod? You know, like, what if it's like, what if it's their attempt to kind of overthrow the Undisputed Era? Who knows?
Well, the decision's Adam Cole's holding them back because he's always after the gold and he's failed multiple times now. Twice in 2 weeks, in fact, recently. Interesting. We then got a bit about Finn's surgery and saying that they initially didn't think that he'd have to have surgery, but in the end they chose to operate. And they're saying they don't know what they're going to do with the NXT Championship. They're going to give him a few weeks to recover and see what happens. At least they're being honest. I think that's like, because sometimes it's, you know, I think it would be a shame to just take the belt off him and immediately go back into that exact same storyline again. But then, like, maybe there's an inverse version of that storyline where they just go, well, you know, Kyle, you had the match last, so here's the belt, mate. Like, go for it. Let's just pull the trigger on Kyle O'Reilly as NXT champion.
Not
now.
Like that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hand over the belts like the Street Profits got them on bloody Raw or SmackDown. Just here you go. Congratulations, Kyle. That would just be so sad. He's got a long road. I think you're crowning Kyle at something like next Mania, you know? Like, I just want to see him get like his proper moment. I really do.
Yeah, he needs a big moment in front of a crowd, and it does need to be worked up to. But yeah, I think it's nice that NXT have been honest about this and just gone like, we just don't know. Like, these things take a sort of indeterminate amount of time before he's either going to be fine really quickly or he's going to take a bit longer.
And we'll just wait.
You know, and we can just wait. We've got other championships, we've got other irons in other fires, and we've got other storylines that need concluding, and they've done quite well in this episode, I think, to build up to a bunch of other stuff that's going to happen. We then get Ember Moon saying that she's had a terrible time on the main roster in 2019. And she obviously, she tore her Achilles, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And she was, when she told she was cleared, all she heard was that she is NXT and wanted to come back to the best women's division in all of wrestling. And she's absolutely right. It is the best women's division in all of wrestling.
Oh, yes, it is.
And then she put over, and I think this is good. Like, this is good fiery babyface stuff where she said, like, you don't get a shot based on what you did in the past and who you were. Because when I left NXT, I was on top of the world. It's what you've done lately. And, you know, frankly, she hasn't done anything. And then it just did this brilliant bit where it's just like, look at all these women that she could have matches with. And you're just like, yes, please. I'll have Ember Moon versus Shotzi. I'll have Ember Moon versus Candice. I'll have Ember Moon versus Io. And she says, Ember's law will lead me back to my title. This was a good promo. I really liked it. This is a good way to introduce someone. I think NXT has done a lot of reintroductions with quite quick heel turns when people come back from injury or they come back to NXT from the main roster. It's nice to see Ember Moon sort of staying on the side of the light at this exact moment in time and kind of doing a, we haven't had a real babyface return to NXT for quite a while. So it's nice to see it play out like this because it's just something to be excited about. You just sit there thinking like, it doesn't necessarily need any more drama than this. It's Ember Moon and she's back and she's got a sort of reformatted gimmick. And there's all this new potential for her to have all these brilliant matches because there's this whole other swathe of women in the NXT women's division. Can't wait.
Yep, really good stuff.
We then got Jake Atlas versus Anshanti the Adonis. This was fine. This was for the purposes of storytelling because Anshanti does like taunted, did his hair. Jake Atlas drop kicks him in the face. They brawl for a little bit, and then Wilder Mendoza turn up at ringside, and Jake rolls up Anshanti and wins the match. And then they drag Anshanti out of the ring and start beating him down. I think this is beef that's been going on 205 Live. Atlas then dives out on top of them, and they sort of team up together. And then Santos Escobar, in a Peng suit, frankly. What a suit. Comes down. They begin to storm the ring. But Swerve arrives and chucks a load of chairs in, and then they stand there and have a little face-off. It's fine. I'm getting to the point where I'm a bit over the Swerve Escobar thing now.
You guys remember TakeOver 31? We're doing it all again.
We need a conclusion. There's other people that could vie for the Cruiserweight Championship. And like, I get they're trying to go for a long-term story here, but they've got a lot of other stories where we're repeating the same stuff. And it does, like, it feels like spinning wheels.
You're right. It feels like a division of two at the moment. It feels like everyone's got their kind of henchmen and allies, but it feels like there's only two people in the Cruiserweight division right now, which is a shame because, you know, considering like the weight class, the average weight, you know, in NXT, the Cruiserweight division could be bloody stacked down there. It's just, yeah, it seems like the only two people vying for that belt are Escobar and Swerve. And I feel like Swerve sort of had his moment. I feel like they should have put the belt on him at TakeOver 31, but the fact they hadn't, that really did feel like a feud ender. The fact that we've gone back to this, it just makes it feel a little bit more inert. I like Ashante Adonis. I think he's brilliant. I think he's going to be big. And I actually think that he's better, like kind of positioned for a shot, because he's just so charismatic. Really, really like him. And yeah, he appeared at TakeOver 31, got involved in Licardo's business, which has led to this. I'm sure it's going to be an excellent six-man tag, but it's just like, yeah, like if you didn't pull the trigger on Swerve, let's kind of populate out the division. Let's kind of get a, you know, or just like, you know, a multi-man match to determine a number one contender. Let's give us an idea of what this division could look like. Because they did that really well with the tag division, like a few weeks back, you know, just like we've got this kind of weird four team kind of micro tournament. And it's good. Like when you look at the ring and see, oh, look, this is what the tag division looks like. And when you have those kind of promos by Ember Moon, which are like, this is what the women's division looks like. And bloody hell, the women's division is amazing right now. It just like feel like there is enough there for a kind of stacked Cruiserweight division. You just have to let us know kind of who's in it, really.
Yeah, and it's, and you know, NXT's previously used the Cruiserweight division when they went to USA to really sort of just give every show a shot in the arm of just like, here's just a brilliant Cruiserweight match between a couple of people that you don't really know. Like, it's when Tony Nese got some real time in the sun, and then Rush came back and got like the push, and Gulak came in for a few matches and stuff like that. Like, there was a real sort of feature of Cruiserweight guys throughout. I don't think Gulak was Cruiserweight at that exact moment in time, but he is a previous Cruiserweight. And then you had all this, you've got Escobar coming in, who's, you know, had a few matches in the tournament for the title, and then just had matches with Swerve.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, he feels like a really, like, he feels like quite a big get for NXT, really. Like, he, you know, he's, as King Cuerno, he's a pretty known name in the world of wrestling and has all this potential to have all these amazing matches. And because he's the boss of a group as well, he's not really having many matches either. And it's like, you kind of, I feel like it's a bit wasted to have this belt that could just be a showcase belt for like, here's just some flips and some amazing stuff that pops the audience in this good wrestling. And you're kind of throwing it away on a story that feels like it's past its prime now. Like, it's a shame, because I think you're right. There are so many guys who, whether or not they are cruiserweights in terms of they're drafted to 205 Live, could just vie for this belt on NXT for the sake of having a really fun little match that wouldn't derail anything. It's a bit of a shame. Candice and Johnny then got interviewed backstage, and they said that Candice is facing Johnny for a number one contendership. She said that she's the uncrowned champion. Johnny bangs on about Dexter Lumis drawing pictures and not talking, and says, what's he done to earn a title shot? And then talks about the fact that he's going to be facing Austin Theory next. The match of Austin Theory is fun. I really like these two together. Yeah, that was really, really good. They complemented each other, I think, at all times really well. They obviously matched each other quite technically, and like, they stole a lot of little bits off each other as well throughout the match. There was kind of this brilliant level of one-upmanship, and then they just talked smack to each other the entire time. There was a point where Johnny, Theory goes for an up and over, and Johnny calls it, and then as he grinds him down to the mat, he just goes, you're just really predictable, mate. And then, like, Theory gets the ATL to roll up for a very close two. And then, as Johnny's, like, recovering and rolling away, he's, like, in the corner and he just goes, Johnny wrestling her? Oh, hi, Miss Gargano. Like, it's, like, there's all this really fun little banter between them two. Like, they are the same sort of cocky, cocksure, annoying character. So it's fun to see them play off each other. And I think this did wonders for Theory as well. Like, you know, they put over the fact that, you know, this is Johnny Wrestling. He is a massive name in NXT, and Theory managed to hang with him. And there was a few moments where he almost had him as well. Like, there was
that victory roll that got me. I leaned in for that. Well played. Like, Austin Theory's been having the match of the week pretty much every week. Like, he's great. Like, yeah, he's not winning any of them, but he took out, you know, he went the distance with Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano in like almost back-to-back weeks, like 2 weeks apart. But that's really good stuff. Like, he's 22. God damn it. He's 11 years, my
share some talents, my friend.
He's gonna be huge as well. He's charismatic, he can go. Like, it's you know, it's they're building up Austin Theory, and that it's just really good, careful booking. Like, he's gonna be a proper someone to contend with, like, maybe in a year or so's time. And I just love watching him wrestle, which is, you know, something. It's a good compliment for a wrestler. I like seeing him wrestle. I want to see him wrestle more. Really, really good. Like, you know, getting Gargano his heat back before Halloween Havoc, of course. You know, it's workmanlike in the terms of like the story it was trying to do. It's just good wrestling. That's the thing with NXT. Even when it's boring, the wrestling's great.
Yeah, but it was characterful wrestling as well. Like, I think this is the thing. Like, Theory's whole demeanor throughout the match was always to just be like, I'm gonna take my time and I'm very good, but I will also happily, you know, there's that point where Johnny tries to do the sort of rolling drop kick that Theory had done earlier in the match, and Johnny had cut it off earlier, and Theory catches Johnny with a super kick as he just rolls in.
Great.
And then Johnny sort of fights briefly on the floor, and Theory just sort of pushes him back down, steps away, and then steps back in with a super kick to the head. Like, it's just really good. Like, that is a patented Johnny Gargano move as well. Like, you know, some of Johnny's worst heel tendencies have been to just repeatedly super kick people when they're on their knees. It all comes back to a head later where Johnny catches a kick and then super kicks Theory in the face. And Theory drops down into this, like, Johnny ends up sort of holding Theory's head up. And you see this moment where Gargano knows he has to dig a little bit deeper to finish this. And he goes for the lawn dart, something he's not been doing recently at all. And then so lawn darts him into the turnbuckle, super kicks him, and then sets him up for the one final beat. So, like, even Johnny had to dig deep here to beat Theory. Theory's been put over massively strong here.
Yeah, Wade Barrett said, like, I can't remember exactly how he put it, but he says that you learn more from losing to these top guys than you do by beating guys of lesser stature. And it's absolutely right. Like, they have enough faith in Theory to have him out there putting in, like, he's a little bit like Shotzi in that kind of regard. So, like, you get the sense, yeah, not ready yet for kind of like the major push, but they've clearly they're clearly earning trust to go out there and have tentpole matches to kind of anchor the show. Like, both Garganos, who obviously are being kind of given that big push for this sort of destiny angle that they're going on, went out there and had two pretty damn great matches with Theory and Shotzi. Mm-hmm. And it just goes, yeah, like, the more you, it's about kind of earning your stripes, and it's about making sure that the folks in the back trust you. Because when they trust you to put on match after match after match of quality, that is when you start getting considered for stuff like the North American title. So, you know, I think it's great. Slow burn stuff. What NXT is really, really good at generally is just building characters organically via their in-ring acumen rather than an overload of backstage promos and character skits. Although we also did have some really funny character skits for a certain team. Does Drake Maverick know what a furry is? But that's it's wonderful stuff. Yeah, really like the match.
It's fantastic stuff. I think Theory is like going to be in a North American title picture very, very soon. We then got a bit with Raquel Gonzalez backstage saying, hey, Rhea, why don't you show up at Halloween Havoc and we'll have a match. We'll go for it. But she said it in earshot of the gym, Adam. And Ripley was apparently in the gym her gear. And she was like, what are you saying, Raquel? Raquel,
get out of my pub.
Raquel, what are you saying about me? Raquel. And she goes, yeah, of course, we can just go for it if you want to. We can do it right now. And then suddenly everyone rushed in and got in the way, which is just, we're still building to that match. It was fine. Like, I think some of the drama has gone out of, like, I think there's been a few situations in the matches, as we discussed on this podcast previously, there's been a few situations in matches where there was meant to be a bit more heat between the two. And I think a little bit of confusion and miscommunication has led to those moments lacking a little bit of the feisty magic. But I'm hoping that, like, next week we're going to see something that really kicks this up, that final gear, and be like, here is that moment between these two people that you really want to see. And then Halloween Havoc, I'm hoping we get kind of a repeat of the Ripley Martinez thing. Like, you know, we get to see something of that caliber between these two, because I think, yeah, Ripley can just go out there and have these like monster matches that don't really involve the NXT Women's Championship. And that's great. I'm excited.
Before Raquel Gonzalez is inevitably, you know, signed up to the main roster to become another part of Retribution, become like Blunderbuss or whatever the hell.
And Gatling gun.
Just can Robert Stone please sign Raquel Gonzalez next week, just to guarantee he's part of the NXT brand. Silly stuff. No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good fun.
We then got Ciampa backstage watching his match from last week and the interruption from Velveteen Dream, where Dream hit him and that caused the DQ and Ciampa won the match. But obviously he wasn't happy about it because Kushida beat up Dream. There's a great bit on commentary where they said, I would not want to be Dream when Ciampa finds him. And just as they finished saying that, Ciampa just went, he's dead. And then walked off like, he's dead.
I love that and I believe it as well.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Ciampa's rage manifest. We then got Shotzi Blackheart versus Candice LeRae in the other standout match of this show. I think this was so, so good. They really worked well together. Shotzi was the house of fire for most of it. I think she did some really cool stuff, like Wade Barrett kept putting over the fact that like her arsenal is so unconventional that you can't really prepare for it. And then, yeah, the finish was that Candice kind of, because they had a couple of moments where they both hit, well, Shotzi tried to hit a finisher, but she landed on the double knees. Candice did hit her finisher, the Lion Salt, and got a very close two. Shotzi got this adapted cattle mutilation thing, that weird
half cattle mutilation, half dragon sleeper sort of thing. Yeah, it good, looked good, decent.
Yeah. Candice gets to the bottom ropes and then she manages to sort of, they have this brawl on the apron and they look like they were going for that sliced bread shot, that sliced bread spot again. And I was like, please don't.
Please,
and instead they drove each other into the floor and then Shotzi went for this dive to the outside, but Candice just jumps out of the way. Shotzi went for the senton and Candice dived to the outside. And then she leapt out of the way of the suicide dive. And then Indy Hartwell, who, if you remember from last week, was... they found that she'd sent them a TV with a little USB, with a dongle in it, that had all the footage from the match, the Women's Battle Royal to decide the number one contender, and it revealed that Indy was backing Candice up in that match that Candice didn't notice, and Indy hands her some brass knucks. She nails Shotzi and then hands them back to Indy at ringside and walks off having won herself a number one contendership match. I like it.
What,
I like this sort of adopting Indy Hartwell. Yeah.
Are you, like, is it going to be a three-way marriage?
Have we got a Tiger King situation on our hands, or what, guys? What's happening here?
A weird love triangle with impressive Indy Hartwell. Does she want you to adopt her?
When she said, "I've bought," the note last week was like, "Here's a TV for your guest room." And I think,
them?
Yeah, that's the thing. So the TV that was broken by Tegan Knox was in the dining room. It was in the living room, dining room combo thing. It wasn't in the guest room. So they put this new big TV in the guest room. Is like Indy, did she send them some posters that she wants? What's she playing at?
I don't get it. Because that's the thing, is like the Gargano way. This is not like kind of like the Bray Wyatt's family where you could sort of like brainwash people and get them to join you. I know they have been sort of like saying, you should do things the Gargano way. But the Gargano way is theirs because they're married. Like, I don't know if anyone else can do the stuff Gargano way without also marrying Johnny Gargano. If that's what's going to happen, he's just going to become the center of a harem of the Gargano way.
I think that she's going to continually give brass knuckles out at ringside until one time Candice hands back a spare key to be like, now you can live with us, Indy. You've earned your stripes.
So it's weird. So,
I love it. It's great. It's so good.
Happening, but you know, yeah. What does she want? I'm so confused.
Yeah, but I think it's a good wrinkle to the Gargano way thing as well, because like so far the Gargano way has got them absolutely nowhere. It's got them a lot of opportunities, and like, you know, they've sort of squeezed by into these title opportunities, but they've not been able to deliver at the final moment. So maybe Indy Hartwell might be the decider here for the Garganos to finally pick up the belts. You don't know, but it adds that kind of lovely bit of flavor of like, they're going to think they did it all on their own. And it adds that sort of excuse in that, no, they didn't achieve it all on their own. They have a guest room. They've got a big TV. There's a dongle in play and it's making the decisions for them. Great stuff. The match with Shotzi from Candice was really fun. Shotzi continues to grow. I sort of thought, I was watching that being like, I think Shotzi's going to win. She's meant to be hosting Halloween Havoc. Like, we're to host it and then be like, and I am also the main event. Here I am. But yeah, fine.
Last match. Yeah, fine. Yeah, good. Like, good match. Again, like, very slow, incremental stuff. Like, that's the thing with NXT. Sometimes the progress is slow to the point of being invisible, but it is there. And then eventually when something big does happen, it does feel like a little bit more earned, a bit more emotionally earned. But then, of course, you have weeks like this where it's just like, you're like, what's happening? Something appears to be happening, but I don't know what. So it's hard to feel emotionally kind of like attached to it yet. But eventually you do get to that point. So
we shall the house of cards up first before you knock them down.
Yes, NXT understand that better than pretty much anyone. So they have my trust for sure. I'm sure
the end stuff. I think it would be fine. Also going to be fine is this relationship between Drake Maverick and Killian Dane, because we saw them backstage and they were talking about the music and their gear and merch. Drake had drawn some pictures. Killian Dane didn't look very flattering in the pictures. The last time that someone drew a picture of Killian Dane, he took serious offense. That caused a whole match with Dexter Lumis and that whole bit where... And also Robert Stone booked that match, lest we forget. So maybe Stone will get himself invested here. Drake wanted to call them the Furry and the Fury because he's the Fury in Kung Fu. And Dane, obviously, is the Furry because he likes to dress as a wolf or whatever on the weekend.
So listen, right? This is fine. But Drake Maverick was at his best when he wasn't a complete idiot. Like during the Cruiserweight thing where he had realistic goals, he was a clever wrestler. He achieved his dream by being clever and gutsy. We are levels away from Drake Maverick 24/7 champion here. Like, it's fine. We know Drake can do comedy, almost to his detriment of how funny he is. This is on the knife edge for me of being too silly. I love the idea of Drake trying to be Killian Dane's friend. That's sweet. You don't have to add silly entrance music, calling Dane a furry. You don't have to get like Killian Dane to come out dressed as, you know, how the Revival were going to be repackaged by WWE in order to kind of get over that angle. I don't think you need it. And I don't want to be, you know, all kind of grumpy about this is too funny for me, but it's borderline is what I'll say. It's still sweet, it's still cute. Dane saying no one gets to hit you but me is the thing that rang true the most for all of this, and that, because that's like, that's on the right side of like these people's characters. I feel like Drake taking his silly pills a little bit too much, but Dane's whole like no one gets to beat you up but me, that for me is the step in the right direction this week, rather than, you know, the diagrams and the name and the entrance music. Like that leaves me a little colder just because it's a little funny, but I'm still on board with this team.
Yeah, well, they've done the work already, haven't they, to make them dislike being partnered. Like Drake is annoying enough as a small man, being like, we should be a tag team and you can do all the work to Killian and Dane. That's kind of annoying enough, isn't it? And then obviously, like, Drake costs the match here. There's a level to say that maybe Dane cost the match because he was the one that got beaten up on the outside and couldn't make the save. But, like, really, Drake took the pin.
Good match. The stuff that's being sold in the match of Drake being the gutsy one, wanting the tag into Imperium, even when he maybe shouldn't take it because he is really good in the ring. Like, that stuff, I think, is brilliant. And I think that's more than enough. I think just have the self-confidence of understanding that that's more than enough to carry this storyline and that gradual progression. You don't need to do the comedy stuff on top of it. Like, it's...
But Dane is going to dance to that music one day, Adam.
That's the thing.
Your hat.
No, but that's the thing that's the thing I don't want. I don't want Killian Dane to shuck and jive. Like, there is a way to kind of wrap this all up sweetly without making Killian Dane into, you know, the Funkasaurus, which he shouldn't be. He's so much better than that. I don't want it to feel like I'm being overly negative. I'm just saying I can see a horizon where this ends poorly. And I just want everyone to be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Well, before we got to that match, we had Robert Stone and Aaliyah were in the ring, and Robert Stone said that their losses will be someone else's gain.
Sure.
Someone will eventually sign to the Robert Stone brand.
I'm still here
at some point. Please.
The saddest man having the saddest 2020.
Just need some work. Every week he's updating his website with new low rates. New low rates.
His LinkedIn must be a hellscape right now.
Poor man. And it doesn't get any better because Toni Storm arrives for her first match back in NXT. Toni beat the hell out of Aaliyah, basically. Just did all of her moves. She did a big... it was a fun series of atomic drops with like chops straight afterwards. She hits a German suplex. She hit a hip attack in the corner. Kicks her. Storm Zero. Reminder, Toni Storm's here. Toni Storm's very good. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Toni Storm against not an Aaliyah. Someone of a bit more caliber to have a bit more of a proper competition. Like a program between Toni Storm and Ember Moon would be a lovely first program for both women back.
Absolutely.
I'd really love to see something like that. But yeah, this was just to remind you who Toni Storm is, what she can do, what she looks like, what her music sounds like. Everything about Toni Storm. We haven't seen Toni Storm for absolutely ages, so probably everything. A lot of the audience going, who? What's a Toni Storm? Good stuff. William Regal was backstage. He said he's not happy with the outcome of Candice versus Shotzi because there's been some bloody cheating going on. He makes
the hypocrisy, the power of the punch. Come on, Regal. If anyone's going to admire Candice being enterprising, it's you, mate. You used to hide those things in your ass.
He forgets. It's easy to forget when you're now a legitimate manager of a company making your shows at the last minute.
Yeah.
Flying funny. By the seat of his brass knuckle hiding pants. So he says that there'll be repercussions for that, but you'll find out later. He makes the Raquel Gonzalez versus Rhea match for Halloween Havoc official two. And then Xia Li arrives with Boa in tow. And she says that she really wants a match next week, Mr. Regal. And he says he'll take it under consideration. She says, no, please, you don't understand. I really need a match. He's like, yeah, I'll take it under consideration now. Get out of my face. I'm William Regal. Xia Li's probably going to have a match next week. We'll get to find out what the deal is with Boa too, hopefully, which would be interesting. It then kicks straight into the Dane and Maverick versus Imperium match. Like we said, good little match. I specifically liked sort of Dane immediately asking for the music to be turned off. I like when Maverick Argo, like, we didn't even get to the whistling. And then Dane getting to the apron and being like, I'm in first, goes in first, knocks down Eichner, and then forces Maverick to have a tag he doesn't want by just tossing him over the top rope. There's fun stuff in there. There is a lot of fun stuff in this.
The content of the wrestling and their dynamic in the ring, perfect. Really, really sings. I wonder about over-egging the pudding, but like all the stuff in the ropes is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So the stuff, like the actual tag team itself, when it's crystallized, it's going to be really fun. I love the idea of Killian Dane hitting people with Drake. That's really funny. Just like, you know, grabbing him by the ankles and like leathering him like a human steel chair. Fun stuff. And I, and like Ever Rise's preposterous appearance at the end for no reason other
than just because it's because they didn't want to beat down Imperium. That's the only reason why. So like Imperium win, they knock Dane, basically knock Dane out on the outside. Eichner catches Maverick on a dive, does his ridiculously strong, just scooped you into a suplex. It is so good. And then they hit their European uppercut powerbomb combo to win the match.
It is now called the Imperium implosion, which I think is bad.
It but is a bad name. The European,
not the II.
Dane's pissed after the match. Ever-Eyes arrive, having not watched the match, clearly, because they're like, where's your big friend now, Maverick? And it's like, he was just in the ring, minutes ago. You should be able to see him because he's coming around the corner right now. And he knocks both the guys out, gets right in Maverick's face and goes, nobody hits you but me. And then...
That's cute.
Good. I like that. That's a good line. A bit weird, but it's a strange relationship to be having, but fine. And then the music plays as they walk off. I'm still intrigued to see where this is going. I think Maverick and Dane has legs. I'm keen to see where they take them. We then got the main event of the show was Damian Priest versus Dexter Lumis in a fun little matchup. It was interesting. This, I like Priest sort of worked over the arm quite a lot in the early going, and then sort of switched from that and was like, oh, actually, I'm going to go after your injured ankle. It was almost like, as the commentary was saying, like, and Lumis is back very recently from a very serious ankle injury. Dame must have heard that and was like, oh, yeah, go for it.
You're right, actually, good point.
Actually, great choice.
Thanks, Tom.
He kicks him in. It started quite simply as well because he's like backed into a corner and he just kicked Lumis in the ankle as Lumis walked forward and that just stopped Lumis. Didn't fall, didn't stumble, didn't really react. He just stared Priest out as it happened. But then that actually gave Priest a bit of an advantage. He then did his big leaping forearm, broken arrow. This had everything you would expect. Lumis still rolled in for his monkey flip thing, which I think is like, of the moves that Dexter Lumis does that I don't think fit his character, it goes the Swanton Bomb and then this rolling monkey flip thing that I don't get. Like, he's based on a murderer and he's creepy and he doesn't talk. And his finisher is he chokes you until you pass out and then he creepily strokes your head. Yes. But one of his moves is a roly poly followed by a backwards roly poly.
And to kip up into a leg drop when he's got a broken ankle. That's the only thing about the match that I thought it was good. I still am missing that final piece of Dexter Lumis. There's just something missing there. I think it's difficult when he's had his kind of, you know, the stop-start thing with the injury. That's difficult. I think he's a really great talent in the ring. It's just like there continues to be a final piece missing when, like, the ankle lock is such a, like, yeah, going for a move you don't normally do because of the extenuating circumstances of the match is great. And it makes Priest seem like a really smart champion. It's such a shame that immediately after locking in the ankle lock on an ankle that was, he had to be out. You know, he missed a takeover because of this ankle that Lumison immediately kips up on it and jumps into a leg drop. And then pretty much starts no selling the ankle damage. I don't know if that's because Lumis is crazy impervious to pain like the Fiend is, or if it's just bad selling. But kind of took a little bit out of the match for
because before that, my notes on the ankle locks spot are like, one, that looks brutal. Like the way Priest had him sort of bent over and was locking it in so deeply was great. But also that like Lumis was screaming in this ankle lock. And that is the first noise. That's probably the first noise we've heard Lumis make since he's been in NXT, except for like a little grunt of exertion from like throwing a punch or whatever. Like this really is like sort of, he's found his voice. That's kind of what it's like. This is the first like real sign of Dexter Lumis actually feeling pain or anything. And then suddenly to turn around and just be like kip up, leg drop, like all on that same ankle. Like it would have almost been better if you'd have done that grueling, brutal looking ankle lock, and Loomis had just swiveled his head round and not said anything and just looked at Priest in the face. So, like, that kind of would have sold the idea of him kipping up and dropping the leg, and then commentary could have put over, it's like, does he even feel any pain? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, it just, these were two very different sides. Those two sections told two different stories that didn't match up. And yeah, it did, I think, hurt the match to me. Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't think the finish really did much for it either. Like, the finish comes as Loomis is knocked to the outside, Priest rolls back into the ring, and the referee's back is turned. And as Loomis climbs back up onto the... before this, Loomis had hit the Uranagi and locked in the silence. And Priest obviously got out of it because he was in the center of the ring, so he could put his foot on the rope.
He's got the world's longest legs. Yeah,
yeah, he absolutely Mr. Tickled his way out of that. And then Loomis followed him out, chucked him into the barricade, chucked him back in the ring. As Loomis gets up on the apron, Grimes runs in and does the cave-in on the apron, which neither Priest or the referee see, is what we're told. And then as Loomis sort of comes back in a bit beaten up, Priest hits the choke bomb and pins into the victory. Afterwards, Priest does his celebration, goes to leave. Grimes comes in and goes to get in Loomis's face, but Priest comes back and hits the reckoning on Grimes and says, don't get in my business. And then as he's walking out, he's like, come with me, stay with me, camera, which I quite like. That's a nice little character beat for him. And he's going to go do the archery thing. And just as the moment he pulls back the string, Johnny Gargano lamps him in the back with a chair, which I really liked, and did he chucked the chair to him. Priest catches it and Johnny super kicks it into his face. Then him and Candice are going to pose over the body of Damian Priest to close out the show. But as they do, William Regal arrives and says the stakes have been hired because there's going to be stipulations for your match, but I will let Shotzi Blackheart to tell you what they are. Shotzi crawls out of a hole in the stage full of smoke. They sort of cut and she's awkwardly sort of halfway out already. And then she's putting on a voice and she's like, Johnny, Candice, both of your matches will be determined. Spin the wheel, make a deal.
I want that to be my ringtone. Thank you, Laurie. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I did not like this end. I loved Johnny Lamping Priest. I was like, yes, that's heat. That's something giving us something leading into Halloween Havoc. And then to then suddenly be like, and now admin. I was just like, oh man, admin. And yeah, to do something like, you know, spin the wheel, make a deal, just feels very. It's old-fashioned and game showy, and I'm up for a randomized set of stipulations, but I don't think it's a show closer in my head.
It's Halloween Havoc, isn't it? You know, this was the old WCW gimmick from early 90s. Mm-hmm. So whatever, fine. Like, some of the matches seem interesting, and some of them seem proper bobbins. So you got Shotzi's choice, which is basically Shotzi gets to pick. Weapons Wild, Trick or Street Fight, which is so main roster, no thanks. What is a TLS match? Coal Miner's Glove on a Pole. Blindfold Match. Casket Match. Chamber of Horrors, which is the one where the Butcher got electrocuted. Mm. It was like one of the famously, like, the worst matches in WCW history. Biker's Chain. It's good to get back to the old days of DOA or Taker versus Brock. Buried Alive, Devil's Playground, not Hell in a Cell, which makes me think there's a new stip, or a Boiler Room Brawl. Like, Devil's Playground being like a random new stipulation that we've not heard of suggests it's probably going to be that one. Yeah. And the TLS, because that is also, like, the rest of them are just like old match types that have been done in WCW. So, like, I don't know. What is a TLS match? What is a Devil's Playground match?
Tables, ladders, and stairs. And a Devil's is a devil. What would you class as a Devil's Playground?
Well, it's Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is the nickname for Hell in a Cell, but it's not a Hell in a Cell match. So it's a different kind of, like, is it? It's not the Fight Pit, is it? No, I don't think so. So, like, yeah, what is a Devil's Playground? Who knows?
It'll be a Hell in a Cell, but there'll be something else in the ring, like a honey badger or something. Like,
oh, I really don't.
The Devil's Play. Yeah, I liked the match. I wasn't so keen on the sort of, yeah, the dichotomy between Loomis's ankle spot and then kipping up on it like it was nothing. I think the finish with building the Grimes Loomis thing and then Priest getting involved and saying, it's now my business. And then Johnny comes in and then Regal comes in and then Candice comes in and then Shotzi comes in. It all gets a bit convoluted when all you really want to do is be like, it's going to be decided at random. Yay! Except we've already decided because we obviously need props for all of these things. We need to find a bloody boiler room. Guys, like, where are we going to film that? Do you know how hard it is to find shooting spaces in a pandemic? We had to film a bunch of stuff in the gym last year. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought the end of the show was a little bit convoluted, but I'm very keen on the Garganos getting another shot. Like, despite the fact it does feel like, obviously, we're treading over ground that we've recently covered. I think Indy Hartwell being added to the mix is good. Obviously, the show showed you that Johnny and Candice are two of the top performers in NXT and can make anyone look really good. I just want them to go with it. I really do want Johnny and Candice to be co-champions at the same time because I just think there's money in that story. It's the most interesting thing. And funnily enough, the most reliable thing NXT has going for it right now. I mean, Johnny got dropped on his head quite recently and didn't come out injured. So, you know, at least he's impervious to damage. Maybe he's one of the few people that can, they'll get away with it with. I don't know. But like, yeah, I just think at a time where NXT seems to be struggling to get a storyline to stick, this is one that is sticking currently. So I'd go for it.
Because Johnny Gargano will marry as many women as he has to in order to win the North American championship.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know, and they'll all provide a different, like, it's like a soldier, won't you marry me situation. It's like, but I have no nucks to put on. And they bring some nucks out and he's like, I have no gun for the other arm. He's got some nucks and a gun and he's wearing like armor. I think, there's somebody, just keep marrying people until he gets a whole outfit to win the North American title.
I would be very, very surprised I think one of the Garganos has to win at Halloween Havoc, surely, at this point. Surely.
I think Candice seems like the most likely candidate to me because of the indie factor. Like, I think having outside interference gives the edge and you can take the belt off EO for a while or, you know, forever. With EO, like, and be like, that's, you know, that's a fair way for EO to lose it's a way for EO to lose the belt and still maintain some of her mystique and the kind of power.
Is Indy Hartwell going to cuckold Johnny Wrestling? Because that would be impressive. She's just gonna steal Candice away.
Well, I don't know.
What am I talking about?
Let us know in the comments what you think is gonna happen with Indy Hartwell. The menage a trois between a lot of them. That's all we've got time for about NXT. It was a good episode with a fairly unremarkable storyline. It's all building up to Halloween Havoc. That's going to be where things truly.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
All right, Laurie.
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah. What are we doing on the weekend?
What am I doing on the weekend? You got nothing else to ask me for this podcast, ouch.
No, nothing, no.
How many people listen to the podcast version?
No idea. No idea.
Do you reckon it's anyone?
Might be Luke.
Maybe it's Luke. Hi, Luke.
I think it's just Luke. Luke bloody loves a podcast. I think Luke loves a podcast more than anyone I know.
if Luke had to give up podcasts or his wife, like how I think we
my
both
wife.
Agreed.
Bye, wife.
Yeah. So I don't know how many people listen to this. We basically we do the show as it normally is on the YouTubes, and then we add a little extra spicy bit to try and lure people to listening to this. And I've got nothing, Laurie. I've got nothing.
My life has been consumed by playing Hades, and that is all I have done for most of my time off that I took last week. I spent playing Hades. Most of the free time I've had in the last week since then has been playing Hades. I am in deep on the game. I'm now attempting to speed run the game. That's how in deep I've got.
I've been reading about chess. That's been my... Literally, I had a week off last week, and I spent it reading about chess.
Not even playing chess. That's...
Please subscribe to Phenomena to make
Please.
Yeah. Have we done it? It doesn't feel like we've done enough for the podcast outro. But
no, it's been 2 minutes. This is the thing. Yeah, this I've been looking at board games a lot, like obviously since we've been making a whole channel about them and been like, what am I going to get? What am I going to do this? And I'm about to move house. I'm about to move quite far away.
Where are you living?
I'm moving to Manchester.
In two weeks.
Yeah, I'm moving to Manchester in 2 weeks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I haven't told anyone. I have obviously told Ollie, but yeah, we've not gone around and told anyone anywhere else at WrestleTalk yet. But yeah,
I mean, Manchester's lovely. I was considering moving there, like to open up a board game cafe of my own way back when. Glad I didn't do that, because good Lord. But no, Manchester's a lovely part of the world.
Yeah.
You'll have a lovely time.
So it should be nice. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we work in these little boxes that appear on screen now. So I don't necessarily have to be in London for that.
I guess not.
At that moment in time, my missus is doing a PGCE up in Manchester at the moment. So yeah, we thought we'd go. But yeah, I've been looking at board games and been like, oh, I could get that. I could get that. That'd be fun. It's like, how many people does it take to play? Because if it's more than two, I don't know anyone.
I've got a list of
this is that moment in time.
Got a list of top two-player board games coming out, not next week, the week after that. So you can listen to that, Laurie, and it'll
there
give
you
a... Travelling Man in Manchester is a really good... And Fanboy 3. There are two really good board game shops in Manchester. That's how much of an ace city it is. Fanboy 3 and Travelling Man, you will find all the board games you could possibly need. I hope that they are still open in this nightmare world in which we live.
Well, yeah, try moving house I've not even seen the place that I'm moving into. That's how things are.
So yeah, I mean, you'll probably get more square footage for your money than in London.
Oh yeah, like we've had someone go look at it. It's just not us. So we're just relying on like how good my girlfriend's mum is at describing things. We had a video, obviously, as well, but she's like, it's bigger than your current place. It's like, are you sure? It's like, I know your daughter and her spatial awareness is terrible, and she got that from somewhere. So like,
but did she just bump into the wall?
She's just not good at spatial awareness. Like, if you ever watched her try and, I mean, she used to work at Marks and Spencer's for many years when she was a student, and I can't imagine the bags that she packed for people, because I've watched her try and pack our shopping, and it is bad. Quite often I have to pack, like if we're going anywhere, I just pack bags, because it's just otherwise you can't fit 90% of the things she wants to take. You can fit them in, you just can't in the way that she does it. Have you ever packed shoes straight up like that? Who packs shoes straight up? Like,
wow. Are you guys sure you want to move?
Maniac. It's fine. I'll do that. It's fine. I just as a goal to myself, I'll do all the packing for when we move. It'll be fine.
We've done enough now, right?
We've done enough now.
Okay, there good.
I hope you enjoyed listening to my minor breakdown and Adam whinging about board games. Please do subscribe to Phenomenerds if you haven't already. If you do like board games or you fancy getting into them, there will be ones that you can play with limited number of people coming up very soon. So even if you don't think you've got like a wide enough friendship group going on right now to play it, because obviously rules and stuff to follow,
Ting. Yeah.
There will be the ability for you to play with whoever you've got to hand. So that will be good. Thank you for listening to the WrestleTalk podcast. That is all we have time for discussing NXT and obviously breakdowns, etc. There'll be more stuff coming out later. We've got the magazine show tomorrow. We've got SmackDown on Saturday. Next week is exciting, though, because it's Hell in a Cell. Is it Hell in a Cell next week? Yeah, it is next week.
Yay.
I mean, there's going to be some good stuff at Hell in a Cell, though. You get Sasha and Bayley.
I have no faith that WWE knows how to do Hell in a Cell matches anymore. They've worn me down.
Well, Sasha and Becky did a brilliant Hell in a Cell match last year.
I know they did, Laurie, but just like WWE is so awful at the moment. It's so much worse than it was in this position last year. I just don't have, I can't excite myself about it. Don't make me get excited about it. If the show's good, it'll be a pleasant surprise. But if it's not, then at least I won't be disappointed again. I can't be disappointed again, Laurie.
Guys, don't be an Adam. Be into Hell in a Cell because we'll be reviewing it, obviously, after it's happened on the podcast. And you can listen to that. And that's what we're all here for. You listening to us ramble on about wrestling and sometimes the terrible things going on in our life. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.